Have you been blessed, church family? Amen. Amen. Are you ready for more? Amen. All right. Well, let's see if the Lord has more blessing for us. Will you bow your heads with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we turn to you now because we know you're there. We know you're listening. But Lord, we want you to speak and we want to hear you. So bless our time now, Lord, that we may put aside work and worry. We may hear your voice. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you remember your earliest memory? The first thing, when you think about in life, the first thing you remember. When I think back, I mainly have just images, just flashes of my childhood. But my first intense memory was when I was just a little guy. Wasn't always this big. I was little years ago, still kind of little now too, but back when I was really tiny, one of my favorite things to do in the summertime was to go out and play in the sandbox. This was our PlayStation years ago, and so I would hang out with the neighbor kids there, and we played together all the time. We were best of friends. Their family and my family would vacation together. We were very close. But what happened in that sandbox on this one summer day is still emblazoned on my mind. For some reason, there were some bricks in the sandbox that day, and my neighbor friend Tim got mad. Somehow, I made him mad. He got upset with me. I was only about 3 or 4, and Tim was younger than me, but he was old enough to pick up a brick, and not realizing what it would do, he threw that brick at me, and he hit me right in the face. My mom heard the scream from outside, and then she heard the door slam open. She came running into the living room to see her little boy jumping up and down with blood all over his face. Mom took me into the bathroom, and on the trip to the bathroom, I already started to calm down. There's just something about moms, isn't there? Their presence, their voice can take the pain away. So I was pretty calm by the time I got into the bathroom until I looked in the mirror and saw my face covered in blood. And then the screams and the terror and the tears began. And Mom rushed me off to the hospital. That brick struck me about a half an inch away from my left eye, right here. One of my earliest memories is of pain and terror and of my mom, who was right at my side, caring for me. The first ministry that we know in life is our mom's ministry, is our mom's love for us, because God made moms special. The burden that a mom's heart can carry just staggers the mind. The amount of work that a mom can do and accomplish in a day baffles the mind of a male. Moms are special. This morning we could spend hours talking about all the great things that our moms have done for us or currently do for us or will do for us in the future. A mom's ministry is never done. Never ends. And this morning I want to talk about a very similar ministry. I want to talk about the ministry of Jesus. This morning let's spend some time looking at Jesus' ministry to moms. You see, Jesus ministered to all types of people, but I believe we can learn something significant today as we look at the times when Jesus took time to minister to moms. So if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to invite you to open them up. If you've got your device with you, turn it on. And we're going to go to the Gospel of Luke to begin. We're going to look at a few different spots in the Gospel when Jesus ministers to moms. We're going to start in Luke chapter 4, verse 38 and 39. Luke chapter 4, verse 38. Is this a story that you immediately think of when I mention Jesus' miracles? Is this the one that pops into your head? Luke chapter 4, verse 38. Now when Jesus arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house, but Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. Jesus heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Now everybody gets sick in a family from time to time. And believe me, it is no fun to have sick kids at home. It's terrible when they don't feel good, when they're stuffy-nosed and sick. And I myself hate being sick. But as bad as that is, there is nothing worse than when mom gets sick, is there? That's the most horrible thing that can happen, because when the rest of us are sick, there's mom there to care for us, to take care of our needs. But when mom is sick, that is a family emergency. What do you do? So here we have a sick mom, a sick mother-in-law. And the story is, it's such a short little story about Jesus healing her. It's a quick miracle. It's almost forgettable. I mean, when you think of Jesus' great miracles, is this the one that pops into your head first? We almost forget this short little story. What can we learn from Jesus taking the time to heal Peter's mother-in-law? Well, I think the simply amazing thing about moms is that as soon as she is healed, what's she do? She gets up and she begins to serve them all. Isn't that just in the DNA of moms to do that? Oh, I'm feeling better. Let me serve you. What can I get you? And she immediately begins to take care of the guests. Moms have God's heart of service. Think of all the things that mom has done for you over the years. Take a moment. Think of them all. All the times she stopped what she was doing to look at you do this magnificent feat of jumping up and down or whatever it was. All the meals that she cooked you, the times she took care of you when you were sick. Think of all those things. Got them in your head? Now, what if she charged you for all those services? We would owe the national debt, wouldn't we? This miracle of healing a mom's fever shows us that Jesus' ministry leads to our service. As soon as she's healed, she gets up and begins to serve others. Jesus' mom ministry leads to our service. What else can we learn from Jesus' ministry to moms? Let's stick here in Luke and let's turn to Luke chapter 7, if you would, now. Luke chapter 7 and verse 11. And we find another miracle story, maybe a little more known. Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 11, it says, "Now it happened the day after that Jesus went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, 'Do not weep.'" Have you ever needed to hear Jesus say to you in your moment of pain, "Do not weep"? Then Jesus came and he touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And Jesus presented him to his mother. Jesus resurrects the son of this widow. And I want us to take a moment here to understand this mother's pain. Her son is dead. And there is no greater pain in life than to lose a child. But it's not just her son. The Bible says she's also a widow. So her husband has died too. this mom on this day when she encounters Jesus, she is heartbroken. And in the midst of this pain of that day also lies the uncertainty for tomorrow. It's a different world back here in the first century. How is she going to live? She has no husband to work. And now her son, who would be there as he grows older to take care of her, now he's gone too. A life of poverty, of begging, awaits this woman until Jesus arrives. And he sees the weeping. He sees the pain. And he sees the dear lady. He sees the widow. And Jesus knows the life that awaits this poor mother. So he reaches out. But he doesn't touch the woman, though his touch touches her life. He reaches out and he touches an open casket. And at Jesus' touch and at his voice, the son breathes. His eyes open and he sits up. Jesus' touch took away this mother's pain. Jesus' touch took away her uncertainty for the future. He gave the son life again, and he gave this mom a life again. So what do we learn here from this story, this touching story of Jesus' ministry to a widowed mom? Jesus touched the coffin. Why is that important? Well, folks, that was against the rules back then. You don't touch a coffin. You don't touch something that's dead. If you do, you become defiled. So what do we learn? Jesus is willing to go around the rules if it means helping somebody. Jesus is willing to get messy in order to help. Amen? Jesus is willing to touch the unclean thing in order to save. So Jesus is willing to touch your place of pain in order to help you and me. He's there to help with our hurt. And he will be there with you to provide hope for the future, even in your pain. Over the years, I've had several young ladies, would-be moms, who call me up. And with a broken voice, they tell me how her and her husband just experienced a miscarriage. And my heart aches with them as they share that loss with me. And then they ask, they always ask, how did you and Jeanette get through all your miscarriages? And I wish I could tell them a simple formula that takes away the pain. I wish I could tell them, you know, pray this prayer and that'll bring some meaning to this meaningless loss. But instead, I tell them the truth. I tell them that the pain sticks around. It becomes a part of who you are. But then I tell them that Jesus is willing to minister to us when our pain is greatest. Just like the widow, he's willing to touch our place of pain. And just like he touched that widow's son, Jesus gave them hope for the future when it seemed hopeless. So I tell them, you can take your pain to Jesus. He won't run from it. He's there for you. We can take our pain to Jesus. Well, were there any other moms that Jesus ministered to in the Bible? A couple other stories this morning, a couple other snapshots of what Jesus does with moms. Turn with me to Matthew, if you would. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. Jesus has an opportunity to mingle with another mom who's a little different. Matthew chapter 15, Our scripture reading for today, starting in verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to Jesus, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. Jesus has the opportunity to minister to a Gentile mother. Again, folks, this is first century. There are rules to be followed. A Jewish man would tend to steer clear of a Gentile lady. But she comes before him and she asks for help, and Jesus says nothing. Is that a little odd? It's a little strange for Jesus. He doesn't say anything. Why? I think he's waiting to see what the disciples will do. In verse 23, they step up and say, "Send her away. Get rid of this Gentile woman." And we can't see Jesus' facial expression here. The Bible doesn't tell us. But he decides to teach everyone, both the desperate mother, the disciples, and us, a lesson about his ministry to moms. Verse 24, Jesus says, "I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel." Now notice, he says, "I'm sent to Israel," but how does he refer to Israel? As lost. "I was sent to them. They need help. They're in trouble. It's not that I'm sent to them because they've got it all figured out." He says, "I'm sent to the lost sheep of Israel." Notice the obstacles in front of this woman. She's a Gentile. She's not supposed to mingle with a Jewish man. But undeterred, she pleads to Jesus for help. And then Jesus says, "I'm sent to Israel." Does she give up? Does she give up church? No. Verse 25, she says, "Lord, help me." Do we give up too quick on seeking Jesus and his help? And then verse 26 is where things get really interesting. Matthew chapter 15, verse 26, "But he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.'" Whoa! Did Jesus just call this woman a dog? Is that how you picture Jesus? You got to realize something. Now, back then, Jewish people oftentimes referred to Gentiles as wild dogs. Dogs weren't thought of as you know, really nice creatures at that time. They just kind of roamed about. They were scavengers. Does Jesus call her a dog? Well, here's where you got to look closely. And the word that Jesus uses for dog, and it does it quite well here in the New King James Version, it's not just dog. It's not a wild dog. He uses the word for puppy, is the Greek word that he uses. Little dog, not wild dog. But he says it's not right to take the bread from the children and give it even to the little puppy. So that's what he refers to her as. Now, if you were this lady, would you give up at this point in time? Would you say, "You know what, I tried, but he didn't say anything, and then I pushed it, and then he turned me away." Would you give up? Well, let me tell you something. A mother's love doesn't give up. Amen? Her daughter is demon-possessed. She's got nowhere to go, so she keeps pleading. Now, she doesn't tell Jesus that he shouldn't minister to Israel. She doesn't say that. But she says the puppies, they even eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And there is the testimony of faith that Jesus knew was in her. And now the disciples are able to see it. Faith in a Gentile woman. And Jesus commends this mom. And at that moment, he heals her daughter. What do we learn from Jesus' ministry to this unique and tenacious mom? We learn, friends, that Jesus' ministry is for all who are in need. Amen? Jesus' ministry is not confined by nationality. His love is not bound by arbitrary, unloving rules of society. It's not even bound by the traditions of religion. Amen? Jesus' ministry and love is available to all. And his love is willing to get messy in order to help others. So for our ministry to be like Jesus' ministry, we must be willing to reach out to all, too. And there's one more touching scene that I want you to see this morning of Jesus and his ministry to a mom. If you turn with me to John chapter 19. Jesus is hanging on the cross. Very last moments of his life. He's endured the beating. He's endured the ridicule. He's walked the Via Dolorosa all the way to Calvary. And now he's endured the nails, and he's hanging, struggling to breathe, and he's dying. John, chapter 19, verse 26. Then Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by. He's hanging on the cross, and through a pain-numbed mind, blood soaking his face, but he hears the sound of a female voice sobbing. It's a voice that he knows. It's a voice that he knew before he took his first breath. And through haze-filled eyes, Jesus turns and he sees his mom. And I'm not sure if there's any mother. I'm not sure if there's any mother who has hurt to the extent that Mary did that day with what she watched. But in spite of all the pain, in spite of all the fighting this great war against sin, in spite of being there to fulfill his and his Father's plan to save humanity, Jesus stops in this intense moment and he cares for his mom. And he places Mary in John's care. He says, "Woman, behold your son." And he says to John, "Behold your mother." Even on the cross, Jesus had a mom ministry. And Jesus' ministry to moms shows that it's our job to help those in need. It's our job to help those who are hurting. Jesus' heart could not help but to reach out to these moms when he saw their need. Perhaps you're in need today. Maybe you're like Peter's mother-in-law and you're in need of healing. Or maybe you're a mom who's lost that loved one. Perhaps you're the mom who feels like you've been pushed to the outside. Or maybe you're the mom who's desperate for God to help your child. I'm here to tell you, Jesus has a ministry for us all because we are all part of Jesus' family. We're all a part of his family. Jesus asked the question in Matthew chapter 12, verse 48. He's standing there surrounded by people and someone says, "Hey, your mom and your family are outside." And Jesus asked the question, "Who are my mother and brothers?" And he gives the answer. And he says, "All those who do my Father's will are my family." Now, Jesus was not divorcing himself from his earthly family. We can see that because his brother James and Mary and the others, they went on to believe in Christ, so they didn't feel slighted that day. But Jesus was showing us that his family is bigger than any of them could have ever realized. His family is big enough to hold you. His family got bigger today when Mina made his decision to follow God. And he is part of the family. Jesus' mom ministry can reach you today because his love is not confined by family boundaries. His love is not restricted by national boundaries. His love is not even bound by time or distance. But maybe you're here today, and maybe you're hurting. Maybe you're hurting because you've lost someone who's not yet been resurrected. Maybe you're hurting today because you have not yet been healed. Well, I need you to please realize something, because we hear these stories in the Bible and sometimes it really grates on us because we think, where's my miracle? Where's Jesus now? Well, please realize that not everyone living in Jesus' day was healed. Not everyone was spared. There were funerals that still happened in Jesus' day. There was sickness that still happened. He didn't stop at all. But still in our hearts, we ask, but what about today, Pastor? Does he still heal today? Well, take a moment before we leave here this morning, and I want you to look around. Go on now, look around at other people sitting around you. Have a good look at them. Give them a smile. They might need it. Friends, we have people here with us. I know your stories. We have walking miracles right here among us today. We have people who've been healed from cancer here among us today. We have people who've been healed from brain tumors walking among us here today. And we also have people here who are miracles because they believe even without the healing. We have miracles of those with us here today who choose to believe even though their loved one has not been resurrected yet. Jesus' mom ministry is still working. His hands still have the power to save. He's still there to help. I know, because I've felt it. And I've lived it. The hardest days of my life, the most difficult days, are the days when my wife cries. And it doesn't happen a lot, praise the Lord. So I remember when it does. And I remember that day. I held Jeanette close as tears fell from her eyes. And I was helpless to stop those tears. I couldn't make it better. And I specialize in making things better. It's part of my job. But I couldn't tell a joke. I couldn't tell a funny story to make the tears go away. I couldn't even smile them away, for tears filled my eyes too. Tears fell from her eyes. And I was helpless to stop those tears. I couldn't make it better. And I specialize in making things better. It's part of my job. But I couldn't tell a joke. I couldn't tell a funny story to make the tears go away. I couldn't even smile them away, for tears filled my eyes too. The doctor held our stillborn baby in front of us. And all we could feel was pain and loss and uncertainty for the future. And questions sprang up like barriers between us and God. And I know that God's word tells me that Jesus has a ministry for us on impossible days like that. But could Jesus shine his light for us on that dark day? Could he really help us? And as these questions rumbled through my mind, there was a melody that came to my mind too. And it's a melody that comes to mind whenever I'm at the end of my rope. It's a melody that I learned when I was little, when I was growing up. It's a melody that stuck with me. And it even busted through sometimes when I was surrounding myself with tons of rock melodies. this melody would still come up. It's a melody that offers a promise. It offers a hope. That day, that impossible day, words came to my pain-filled mind. Because he lives, I can keep on living. Because he lives, I can keep on breathing. Because he lives, I will keep on believing. Keep on hoping. And I thought, I can face this loss because he lives. I can still trust. I can still face tomorrow because Jesus lives. And because he lives, I will see my other son one day. And I will see the light of glory one day because I know that Jesus lives. Because he does, he still ministers to us today. Jesus' ministry is for moms, it's for dads, it's for brothers, it's for sisters, it's for all of us. That ministry is still there to help us. Still able to touch our pain. Still able to heal. Still able to care. I know. So I encourage you to reach out to him today. Tell him what you're facing today. And he will help. He can help. I know. Because he lives. Our gracious Heavenly Father, it's a melody that still rings true on the darkest of days and on the best of days. So, Lord, I ask that you will hold these mothers' hearts as they go through those days and help them to know that you hold the future. I pray, Lord, for the fathers that are here, the sons, the brothers, the sisters, the daughters. Lord, may we always remember that you live so we can face tomorrow. You live so fear is gone. You live, Jesus, so one day we will live with you and all those that we've lost along the way. We can't wait until we're there with you, Lord. But until that day, give us the strength that we need. Help us to remember that you live, and help us to go out to this world, though it may get messy, and help us to tell others that there is hope. Because Jesus lives. In his precious and powerful name we pray. And all those who will keep on living, who will keep on believing, keep on trusting, and who will face tomorrow said, amen. God bless you, and happy Sabbath.